Hi, welcome to episode 8 of Perland on ELT. I'm Perland and I'm on ELT. And this time we're looking at the problem of question tags. So it's a grammatical problem that we need to face up to at some point. I've been teaching about this topic all week or last week. Question tag is where you have a short question at the end of a statement. So you make a statement like, this is really fun, and you add a question tag to try to get a response, isn't it, or isn't it? So with differing intonation, depending on what sort of response you need to get. Seven facts about question tags. So I'm looking at a handout. The lesson notes are from available on my website, perlandtraining.com. I'm looking at the handout and I'm sort of going through it in this podcast. So if you want to get hold of it, maybe pause this podcast and download or have a look at the lesson notes on the website at perlandtraining.com. So I'm looking at seven facts about question tags. Number one, we start with a statement, usually a short statement, and then add a question tag with a question mark. Fact two, they're often used in spoken English. So really we're talking about speaking and listening rather than reading and writing. But if you're writing dialogue, you would certainly do well to use question tags. As you know, I live and work in Poland, and certainly in Polish we don't have question tags, a system like it is in English. And I found out that in many other languages as well, it's possible just to use the equivalent of yes, yes. In Polish people usually just say tak, tak. You're going to the shop, tak, yes, rather than a complicated system like we have in English. In English we can do this and we can say, like, you're going to the shop, yeah, yes, or right, especially in American English, and other phrases as well, but the tone can be rude and confrontational, angry, yes. You're going to buy me some bread? Yes. It's rather too direct for English. English is not a direct language. It sounds like an order, and we don't like direct orders in English. We don't like it. But it depends on your mood. If you're angry, then you might not use a question tag. You might just say, yeah, yeah, right. And it also depends on your background, maybe your dialect as well. But we're talking about standard English in this podcast today. Fact four, we can use any auxiliary verbs, including modal auxiliary verbs. In present simple and past simple, you have to think whether to use respectively do, does, or be in present simple, or did, was, were in past simple. So you have to pay attention to the main verb. If it's be, we use be. Be is the king of verbs, as we know. The king of all the verbs. And it follows some of its own rules. And we use contractions, isn't it? Aren't you? Didn't you? We can't say did not you. Did not you? In rhetorical speech, we might say, for example, this is a terrible situation. Is it not? Is it not? We might say this in a formal situation. Question tags are not as common with the pronoun I. So we don't use them all the time with I. We don't always need to check when it's about ourselves, for example. I wouldn't make a sentence that said, I'm an English teacher, aren't I? It sounds a bit like you're either very forgetful or you're just starting to lose the plot, really. You don't know what's going on. So it's more common with other pronouns, you know, you, he, she, it, we, and they. Factor six, we can use them to sound sarcastic. And it depends on our tone of voice. If we have a descending tone, it shows that I believe the opposite. So, for example, that was a great film, wasn't it? It's rather sarcastic because my tone of voice tells you that I believe the opposite. It wasn't a great film. And finally, fact seven, I discovered with my students that question tags are more difficult to use than they look. Question tags are something that we take for granted in English. It's just something we can do, something we know. It's natural to us. Auxiliary verbs are natural in English and very unnatural in other languages such as Polish, but also others which don't use them. So we know in present simple is do, does, or be, in past simple did, present perfect have, has. And we just know this stuff, we just know how to use question tags. But as you break it down, there's quite a more complicated thought process, and they're more difficult to use than they look. So it is worth practicing them. And I'm going to give you some materials to practice them with a bit later on, so stay tuned for that. The thought process of using question tags. One, realize what tense it is. If somebody starts saying they're meeting at 10, then it's present continuous. So recognize straight away, what is the tense? That's the first point. Two, realize what pronoun is used. And match it. If the pronoun is they, then the question tag pronoun will also be they. But if there's two names, for example, John and Keith, then we've got to think. We've got an extra thought. Okay, it's two people. Then it's question tag pronoun will be they, not John and Keith, and so on and so forth. Three, we've got to think, is it a singular or a plural subject? They is plural, so it depends, the question tag depends on this as well, singular or plural. And we know from question tags that if the statement is positive, the tag must be negative, or opposite way round, if the statement is negative, then it must be positive. We do the opposite. And that's probably the most commonly spoken fact about question tags. But there are also these other things to think about. It's all about tenses, pronouns, singular or plural, and auxiliary verb. These are all the things that really confuse our students at lower levels. I'm talking beginner and elementary, so we can say that question tags is a good topic to look at this level, because it focuses our mind and attention on this kind of thing, which is really useful at this level. Then we match the auxiliary verb. So if it's are, we need to use aren't in the question tag. Positive goes to negative. Six, understand the context. So this is the next thing to think about, is the intonation. What is the context? There are two options here, and intonation differs. We go up if we're asking a question, if we want an answer. At the bus station, you can ask somebody, This is the stop for the number 49, isn't it? And your voice going up tells them that they need to reply. They understand that you've got, they need to reply, you're asking for information. And they might say, yes, it is, or no, it isn't, it's over there. Yeah. So if we're asking for information, our voice goes up. But if we're just asking for a general confirmation of something that we already know, if we're just checking something which seems rather obvious, you know, if you're pretty sure that this is the right bus stop, your intonation would differ. It might go down. So this is the bus stop for the number 49, isn't it? And the other person still needs to reply in this situation, but it's not such an urgent inquiry. You know, if you're watching a film and you're not enjoying it, you could say to your friend, oh, this is really boring, isn't it? Isn't it? In it? In it? We make contraction very often, like from isn't it, is not it. Isn't it? In it. This is boring, isn't it? Yeah, really boring. And in this situation, it may not be necessary to even reply. You're just making small talk, making conversation for the sake of it. This is sometimes called, well, always called, phatic communication. So have a look for that. P-H-A-T-I-C, phatic. We're just saying something for the sake of it. Sometimes we do this with our friends and family, and people don't reply, they don't answer. It's not worthy of an answer because something is so obvious and you're not asking for information. How did I do it? How did I do this lesson last week? I had this lesson with several groups, quite a number, maybe about half a dozen groups or individual lessons. Generally, I started by asking them to write six statements on the board, short statements about any topic. I didn't tell them we're looking at question tags. And three of them positive, three of them negative. And then I tried to elicit from them, how can we get information or check this? So if they've written on the board, for example, English is a very good language, then I said to them, well, how can we check this, get confirmation of this? And I elicited the word yes, because this is where it is in Polish. Tak. And we looked at some of the English options which are in part three of the seven facts. Yes, yeah, right, okay, got it, understand. And we looked at the fact that these could be rude and confrontational. So then I tried to elicit the topic of question tags after all that. And even before that, students practice some sentence together with the wrong tone. And we looked at English, how it's not a direct language, and we don't like people speaking to us in such a direct tone of voice. Of course, some people do in some parts of England, some cultures, and some dialects and some situations. But we're talking about standard English, which is in a normal sort of polite register, everyday English, rather than with our friends or with particular groups of people. So I elicited question tags. We went through the main points which we've looked at already in this podcast. Tried to elicit everything if possible. Elicit is the way. It's the right way to go. discuss the main points and the thought process. So the order of what we do, you know, realize the tense, realize the pronoun, singular or plural. And this is what we go through, but a native speaker will do it quickly in the blink of an eye. But you have to learn how to do it. You have to train yourself and get quicker and quicker at doing it. Then the worksheets, we maybe had time for one or two of the worksheets, which I'm going to give you in a minute. Then we check the answers. Really, that was enough for maybe for a one hour lesson. Students write their own sentences with question tags or for homework. So this was done for homework rather than writing it in the class time. Yeah. I just put a note here, other forms that we could, which are sort of exceptional when it comes to question tags. When we've got imperative form, we use will or won't. For example, stay here, will you? It's imperative form. Negative, don't move, will you? Again, will you? Let's go to the fair, shall we? So let's matches with shall we. It's really irregular, isn't it? It's not exactly let's go to the fair, let we. It's not that easy, I'm afraid. We need to return this form, don't we? So we need to. Matches with present simple auxiliary. Don't we? Don't. There is, there are. There's a cow in that field, isn't there? There isn't a cow in that field, is there? Is there? Depends on the intonation. It depends on the situation as well. And finally, with somebody, somebody is late, aren't they? They're using they, even though somebody in this case is singular, is quite confusing. Somebody is late, isn't it? Isn't that has to be they, meaning a singular person. So this is something to look at. Have a look at it. Study it and digest it inwardly. And forever remember that. Somebody is, aren't they? They, as in the singular they, when we don't know if it's male or female they. Somebody isn't, are they? So the opposite way. So after that, I'm sure you feel like I lie down. But if you want to, you could download some worksheets. We've got 6 pages of worksheets plus answers. Present tense 1 and 2, past tense 1 and 2. And then modal verbs positive. Present form. And modal verbs could, would and should. So can, will, must, could, would and should. Plus answers. I'm going to put these on the website at perlandtraining.com. That's PURLAND. Also, the answers will be there. But don't look at the answers, will you? Don't look at the answers, will you? Will you? Imperative form. Don't do it. Don't look at the answers, will you? Until you've done the exercises. So check your work, or you could give them, if you're a teacher listening, welcome. You could give them to your students, photocopy them freely, and give them to your students. So I think that's all for question tags. A more complex lesson and topic than I imagined. It's a while since I've taught this topic, so it seems to have got more complicated over the years. It's a while since I wrote the worksheets, in fact, many years, several years. But this topic seems to be more complicated than I remember. But anyway, I hope this is going to help you. If you enjoyed my ramblings on this topic, then maybe please leave a nice comment on iTunes. And don't forget to subscribe so you get all the podcasts. This is number 8, so there are 7 more that you haven't, maybe you haven't listened to yet. So if you found this rambling rather confusing, as I have, then I suggest you go to the website, have a look at the worksheet there, which I'm sort of reading from at the moment, where it's written down in clear and plain English, and maybe that will be easier just to read it and find out how to do it. If you're a student looking for a teacher to help you, then look no further. I offer online lessons for students of English. But if you're a student and confused by this, maybe it's a good idea to find a teacher local to you who can help you. That's it, I think. So if you have any questions or comments, please leave a review or leave a comment on iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Or you can contact me on the website at the contact page or by email info@perlandtraining.com. And that's all. So hopefully I'll see you in the next podcast. PerlinTraining.com, that's where you find the notes for this lesson and loads of other free resources. And I look forward to seeing you for the next podcast. Bye for now.